But go to me to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. And I'm going to ask one of these young men that are sitting here in the front if they can read Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. So lately, since I got here, I've been asking the young people a question. And I think that's one of the questions that young people heard the most. What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to study? What are your plans for the future, right? Are you thinking on college? Are you thinking on working? What would you like to do when you grow up? And that's a question that we have for the young people. That's a question that we have for kids. And I heard all kind of answers, right? I've heard some young people that says, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a policeman. I want to be like my dad. And that's a good answer to have, right? I want to be like my dad. And then I ask them, why do you want to be like your dad? And they say, well, because my dad, he doesn't do anything in the afternoon, and then he rests at night. I'm like, I want to be like your dad too, right? But I hear all kind of answers of what they want to do. Some of them even are good answers. Some of them are not that good of an answer, right? Some of them are like, oh, I want to go to Bible college. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. Oh, man, that brings joy to my heart. And it's just interesting to ask the young people and the kids, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do on the future? What are the plans that you have for your life? But that's a question that we ask to the young people. But let me ask you the same question to you. What do you want to do when you grow up? You might be thinking, man, I'm already grown up. I'm way older than you, right? And yes, you are. I don't say that in a bad way, okay? maybe you're thinking, what kind of question is that? But let me change the question a little bit. What is the plan that you have for your future? What is the plan that you have for your future? Because let me tell you, just as God has a plan for all these young people, He has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're new in church or if you've been your whole life in church. God has a specific plan for your life. It doesn't matter who you are. God has a specific plan for your life. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that young people do when they answer this question is that they answer what they want to do with their lives. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to study this. Oh, I want to become this. But they never answer, God wants me to do this. God wants me to study this. God wants me to become this. And we all answer the same question based on your own desires. I want to do this. I want to become this. But let me ask you, what's the plan that God has for your life today? Not tomorrow. Yes. Not in 10 years. Today. Right. What's the plan that God has for your life today? Did you ask Him this morning? God, what do you want me to do today? God, who do you want me to witness today? God, what do you want me to help you with today? What's the plan that God has for your life tomorrow? What's the plan that God has for your life next week? Because the problem is that we all make plans, but we never ask God what He wants us to do. And I'm pretty sure if I ask you, hey, what's the plan that you have for Monday? You already have it planned down. You already know what you're doing. If you go to work, you already know what time you're waking up. You already know what time you're getting off. You already know what time you're having lunch. Pretty much, you already know what are you having for lunch. And we all make plans. But my question for you is, do you know God's plan for your life? And as I said, you're not too old for that question. You're not too young for that question. It doesn't matter who you are. God has a specific plan for your life today. Amen. And let me tell you, through the first verses, I can see three simple things that God wants us to do today, right now. Verse number 2, the Bible says, arise, go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. First thing God wants us to do, He wants us to get up. He wants us to get up. And let me tell you, this is really simple. And the whole preaching is going to be really simple, I promise you. He wants us to get up. But the people that you command, the people that you tell, hey, get up, you don't say that to someone that is working, do you? No. You don't say that to someone that is already laying down. Right. You don't say that, I'm sorry, you don't say that to someone that is already standing up. You say that to someone that is laying down or that is sitting down. You say that to a lazy guy. You say that to a young guy. Hey, get up. Hey, start doing something with your life. Hey, please start working. Man, I was so amazed yesterday to just to see all of you guys just to come to the church and to start vacuuming and carrying some chairs. Man, I'm young, but I don't have your energy, okay? And I was just so amazed to see all you guys doing it. But I think one of the problems that we have in our churches is that a lot of people, when they got into church, when they got into the Bible, when they knew Christ, man, they had a fire in their hearts. They really wanted to do something for Christ. And they wanted, and they had a lot of energy for God. And there was never enough for them. They always wanted to do something else. They always wanted to serve. Whenever the church was open, they were going to be here. Whenever there was something to do, they were going to be here. But man, that seems like a thing of the past. Because whenever we got into church, we were working and we were out winning doors, witnessing to people, knocking some doors, and we were just telling everybody we knew, hey, do you know about Jesus Christ? Hey, do you know about the gospel? Hey, do you want to hear something from the Bible? Hey, come to church with me. Hey, come, meet my pastor. And we were all excited about it and we were working, but then the years went by. Time passed and something happened. Something changed. And let me tell you, it's interesting to me, though, that if you go to the Bible in 1 Kings, you will see something really cool. It's not, the book of Jonah is not the first time that Jonah is mentioned in the Bible. Maybe, and I don't know, but the people that do know the Bible, they say that Jonah was probably part of the school of prophets. That Jonah was probably side by side to Elijah. And the people that actually know the Bible, that's what they say. And probably this is not the first time that Jonah prophesied something. This is not the first time that that God gave Jonah a job to do. And maybe at the beginning he was doing it. Maybe at the beginning he was working, but something happened in the life of Jonah that suddenly he was laying down. He might be sitting down. Let me tell you, I don't know what it is, but if you're laying down right now, if you are sitting down right now in your spiritual life, God wants you to get up. He doesn't want you where you are. He wants you to do more. He wants you to grow. Oh, let me tell you, in the Christian life, there's never a moment that you stop working. In the Christian life, there's never a moment that you stop growing. And it doesn't matter what you have done for Christ, because a lot of us, we excuse ourselves saying, oh, but I already did enough. Oh, I've been working my whole life. I need a moment to rest. When I was in Bible college, I was having a bus route, and when I was in Bible college, I had a class, and maybe years before, I was serving and I was doing this, but now I'm too old for that. Oh, I've been working a lot, and now I think it's time for somebody else to start working. Oh, I've been doing too much. I think I'm just going to lend my position to somebody else. Let me tell you, on the Christian life, there's no retirement. Right. It doesn't exist. Yeah. There's no retirement. Have you ever drive? I know in Mexico, we all drive standards. Okay, I know here in the States, nobody does, all right? It's almost impossible to find one, right? Everything is automatic. But if you're driving a standard car, you know, you're going to have first, second, third, fourth. And if you're driving an expensive car, maybe a fifth or a sixth year. But there's also one, a neutral. And if you're driving and you set up your car in neutral, you're going to keep going forwards for a little bit. But there's going to be a point in your life that the car's going to stop. And then you're not just going to stop where you are. You're going to start going backwards. Let me tell you, the Christian life is something like this. Because the Christian that is not moving forward is not stopping where he is. Sooner or later, he's going to start going backwards. Yes, we need to grow. We need to do more for Christ. Amen. A lot of times we call ourselves faithful. And we think we're faithful just because we come to church. And we think we're faithful just because we are here. And we think we're faithful just because we read our Bibles. But let me tell you, God doesn't call that faithfulness. Faithfulness is to grow and to do more, not to be doing the same for the past 10 years. And let me just be clear to you. God wants us to do more. That means that if the last year we read our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, you know what God wants us to do this year? To read it twice. Yeah. It's as simple as that. If last year we went out soul winning once a week, you know what God wants us to do now? Go out twice. Yeah. It's as simple as that. If today you read your Bible, tomorrow you better read it twice. And if today you read four chapters, maybe tomorrow you can read it eight chapters. God wants us to do more. And if the last year we gave certain money to missions, God wants us to give more. It doesn't matter what you have been doing for the Lord, but it matters what you're doing for the Lord right now. Amen. What are you doing for God? First step, get up. Second step, start fighting. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast for the words that were in the ship into the sea to light it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." You know what's funny though? Everyone on the boat was working. Everyone was working. And you can maybe picture it, because maybe you can see like some guys, they were, I don't know how you call this, okay? But you have to imagine it. I don't know how you call it. And maybe some of them grab like some buckets just to throw the water away from the boat. And maybe some of them were carrying the heavy stuff just to cast them away of the boat. And everyone was working. All these guys were working. But the man of God, he lay down to sleep. Everyone was working, but the man of God. And do you remember what kind of boat was this? It wasn't a boat full of Christians. No. Everyone was casting into their God. Yeah. So you have a guy that is worshiping the sun, and he's praying to the sun that he can even see because it's a storm. And then there's another guy that is praying maybe to the storm. I don't know. Maybe there's a guy that is praying to himself, right? And I don't know who were they praying to, but the only man that had the true God, he went down and he fell asleep. Wow. You know what we have out there? We have a lot of people that are working. Right. Jehovah Witnesses are working.
Yes, they are.
I don't know how it is here in the States, but you can go 7 a.m. in Mexico,
yep. And
you can see them on the bus stop.
Yep.
With that little car, they are working. It's amazing to me how even Catholics are working now. Yep. You can see them out in the streets giving some gospel tracts. Gospel tracts. Right. They have the whole gospel, the whole plan of salvation, with one exception. You have to believe on the Virgin Mary too.
Yeah.
That's no salvation.
Right.
Everyone is working. Satan is working. His demons are working. Everyone is working. But the Christians are laying down to sleep. Oh, let me tell you, we need to start fighting. We need to start doing more for God. Oh, we have a lot of, I didn't bring my watch with me, but I love watches, right? I think that's a guy thing, right? I love watches. Of course, I cannot buy a lot of watches because all of them are expensive. But I like these fancy watches that they have right now, this smart watch. Have you seen them? This Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch and the Smart Watch, they have a lot of features. You can do a lot with them. You can answer your phone with your watch now. You can make a payment with your watch now. I've never seen that before. That's pretty cool, I think. You know, it can even tell you you're having a heart attack. That's amazing to me, though. I'm like, whoa, that's a nice watch. No, and now you can use your watch even to go swimming. And they have like these really expensive watches. You can swim like, I don't know how many meters down, sorry, feet down. In Mexico, we do by meters, okay? I don't know how many feet down. But now they have all these watches. But let me ask you, what's the purpose of a watch? To tell the time. As simple as that. It doesn't matter how many features does it have. Can you imagine if you have the newest smartwatch or Apple Watch or Android Watch, and then it's all, and then you're just showing it off, you know? Hey, it has this, and it has this, and it has this, and I can put a picture in it, and then I can also answer to my WhatsApp or to my message, and then there's somebody ask you, hey, what's the time? I don't know, it doesn't say. Man, you'll be like, man, that's useful. What is that for, right? Why do you have a watch that doesn't give you the time? But you know what's the purpose of a Christian? The Bible says, Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, Luke 24:47, John 20:21, Acts 1:8, the purpose of a Christian is to win souls.
That's right.
That's the purpose of a Christian. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many features do we have. How many things we can do. It doesn't matter if we come to church. It doesn't matter if we are able to read our Bible. It doesn't matter if we know them by memory. It doesn't matter if we come here to help. It doesn't matter if we are the ones giving or teaching the class. It doesn't matter even if you are the one who comes to preach. The purpose of a Christian is to win souls. And we say that a watch that doesn't fulfill his purpose is useless. How will you call a Christian that doesn't fulfill its purpose? Our purpose is to win souls. We need to start fighting. We need to start doing more for God.
Amen.
Let me tell you, number three, we need to start obeying. We need to start obeying. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 8. So the story continues. We see Jonah, the mariners or the guys that were on the boat, they come to Jonah. They ask him, hey, who are you? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And then he answered, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. This makes me laugh. Why do you answer that, right? Have you ever met with someone that is suddenly smoking or drinking, and then you ask him, hey, did you go to church? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Why are you even saying that, right? Man, just don't say you go to church. That's it. I think this is the same situation that Jonah was. Hey, are you a Christian? You call yourself a Hebrew? Someone from God? Someone that loves God? The true God? But you don't obey him? Would you run away from him? Are you really a Christian? And a lot of times I think we sound like that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist. I'm the best Christian out there. You know? I love God. I carry my Bible to work. I pray every day. I know the Bible. I know who Jesus is. Really? Then why you don't obey him?
Right.
And a lot of times we do call ourselves Christians, but we don't obey him. Let me ask you, if Jehovah God, the one who did the universe, is really your God, can we tell him no? If God, you call him King of Kings, can you say no to his command? Then why are we doing it most of the time? Because the commission, it doesn't have an if. And a lot of times, we fulfill that commission with an if. Go out there and win some souls if you see that it's working. Go out there and knock some doors if you think that it's working. And a lot of times we excuse ourselves with that. I don't think it's working. That's why I'm not doing it. Well, the command that we have is not, if it's working, do it. The command that we have is, just go and do it. Just go and win souls. Just go and reach the word. It doesn't matter if it's working or not. Because if we're actually worried about numbers, then we will be sending missionaries to all these countries that the gospel is not allowed. Because we have a command to go and preach the gospel. Amen. Three simple steps. We need to get up. We need to start fighting. And we need to start obeying. Wow. And at the end of the story, something really interesting to me. We see finally Jonah, the great prophet. He goes up to Nineveh. And with a heart that is just full of mercy, with a heart that is just full of love, he goes to Nineveh and he starts preaching this gospel full of love. Look on verse number 4, the last part of chapter number 3. And he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's not a gospel message. That's not a message full of love and mercy. In matter of fact, it doesn't even give them an option. It's just telling them, hey, 40 days from now, you're going to be dead. Okay? That's all he's saying. 40 days from now, you're going to be dead. Okay, so don't even try it. I'm just here to letting you know, okay? Hey, King, you're going to be dead soon. That's all he's saying. But you know what happened? When someone actually obeys the voice of God, the whole city got into repentance. The whole city. And that's what God can do with a man like Jonah. Can you imagine what God could do with someone like you? With knowledge, with a church, with a pastor, with a Bible? The biggest problem that Nineveh had, it wasn't their sin. It wasn't the idolatry. The biggest problem that Nineveh had, it wasn't all that. It wasn't even the moral sins that they had. Because do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that how you say it? Yeah? Do you remember them? It's the same situation that Nineveh had. The same sins. Nineveh had gotten the same wrath of God. Is that my phone? I think it is. Sorry, Alder Alem. We don't get this in Mexico. anyways, that was distracting. Do you remember the same wrath that Sodom and Gomorrah got? It's the same wrath that Nineveh got. The same hate from God. But at the end, their main problem that Nineveh had was a disobedient man of God that didn't want to obey his commands. You know what's the biggest problem that this world has? It's not their sin. It's not how hard they are in their hearts. Because a lot of times we go out knocking doors and we're like, man, they're hard. They simply don't want to listen. Well, I don't think that's their problem. I don't think the problem of the world is all the other religions. I think the biggest problem that the world has right now, it's a lot of Christians that are not obeying his command. Amen. To go and reach the word. That's her command. Will you obey his command?